Welcome to Burr News Current Affairs Podcast with Jeremy Deacon. Listen at your leisure on www.burrnews.com.
Good day and welcome to this, the latest Burr News Facebook Live interview. Joined today by Winston Godwin and Greg DeRoche. You may remember these guys. They were at the forefront of the legal fight over same-sex marriage. I appreciate you coming and sparing your time today, especially on a Saturday, and I know you're heading off back to Canada tomorrow, so you've got a lot to do. But when same-sex marriage was legalised, when you got to the end of that very protracted legal court case, legal battle, what did it mean to you when the judge gave the ruling?
Me, the biggest thing was a sigh of relief. It's like, yes, like, we are somewhat headed in the right direction. Like, this is definitely not the end of it, of anything. This is just the beginning of it. You can't help but be happy. Like, it's taken so long to get to this spot. Almost a year at that point from start to finish. Just shy of a year, I guess. What, a month? Shy of a year. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, awesome. Like, we actually did this. And, like, honestly, like, how can you not see it? The facts are there. It's quite clear in black and white. But, yeah, I think it was just, okay, this is awesome. This is great. I think we underestimated what it truly meant, though, to be honest. Like,
to you, or to?
To, like, even after the court case and stuff, and realizing how much it meant to so many other people. And didn't even think of cruise ships and that sort of thing. Like, that was just another, effect of it. Mm-hmm. But I think more so the people that come out to us and said thank you for doing this, because they couldn't themselves.
That was in Bermuda.
In Bermuda, yeah. And it's like, that, I think, is probably one of the biggest things. It's like, we knew that it was never about us. Like, it was never, again, we could have easily gotten, just not even taken this on and done it in Toronto and just called
exactly,
it a day
yeah.
and be done with it and not have to worry about it. But I think when we spoke about it, this is something that we really wanted to do.
But why was it so important to you?
For me, and I think Winston kind of hit most of the things that I agree upon, it was not about something that was personal to our relationship so much. It was more how it would impact the LGBTQ community in Bermuda and their kind of day-to-day life and just going about day-to-day life and being able to get married and have their relationship recognized in that sense. And to just kind of go about their everyday kind of life, just like you, me, and anyone else here. We all get up, we all either go to work, go get our groceries, pick up our children, whatever it is. All of us humans do that.
So it's very much about the principle of it, was it?
Yeah, exactly.
How can you not want to be a part of something like that? And it's, how do you not see that it's worth fighting for? Mm-hmm. Like, again, you can compare it to many other civil rights issues, human rights issues. It's, they are the exact same. This is no different, and this is just an extension of that.
Yeah.
So why not be a part of that and help if you can? I think living in Canada and elsewhere that I have, it's a lot harder to live here, for sure. And you're kind of put in this box of, this is how it's supposed to be, and this is it, and you don't question the status quo, and this is how it is, because this is how it is. But going to other places and seeing how it is other places, this is not how it should be. Like, again, in Toronto, you can walk down the street holding hands, whatever, and it's not even thought of. Yep. And here, like, again, it's something in the back of our mind for sure when we're walking around, but, and you might get the odd look and that sort of thing, but otherwise it's just, it's a non-issue, really.
Yeah. When the court case finally came to the conclusion, I think it was you, Winston, we were quoted as saying, it's been a long time coming, this ruling, although it was in our favour, there is still so much more to do in Bermuda.
Yeah.
What do you guys mean by there's so much more to do?
I guess I'll start that off with my quote. there is, so yes, it's just a piece of paper, but that doesn't change the mindset of people. that doesn't change, okay, because the ruling's been made and because this is what the judge deemed, clearly there's still a lot to be done.
There's a lot more going to happen, of course.
It's still a process in itself, and while the ruling's in our favor and while people have gotten married due to this ruling, there are still a lot of people not happy with that and trying to actively stop that. And so that in itself is something that we're working on. It's unfortunately it's still something we're trying to keep here, because Bermuda, if they were to do it, it would be the first country to take away same-sex marriage. So that's one of the most obvious things. But otherwise, again, it's this shift in mindset to get people to see that we are no different, as Greg was saying. We do all of the same things that any other couple does. Why is this such an issue to you? Mm-hmm. Like, it, how does my marriage affect you? Why are you so actively...
Just like, how does any other heterosexual marriage impact any other couple, kind of? It doesn't. That's your personal life, you know.
We'll come on to that, because obviously I want to ask you about preserved marriage and the attitude towards each other. But since the court case, have you encountered any homophobia? Have you encountered any adverse reaction? Or has it been, you know, welcoming and good?
So he's been here a couple of times since the court case.
Yeah.
And when you're looking at the reactions, it's been honestly nothing but positive. Like, he came to Harbor Nights, we walked down the street and we were holding hands at one point.
Well, people recognize you.
People recognize. And it's like, or even like going to America's Cup in the village and stuff, like people were cheering and clapping and we're like, ah. Like, things like that. You're like, you're not sure what to expect. And obviously, again, when you're holding hands, you're conscious of those sorts of things and the stares, because that's, it's different. So people are going to stare, and it's like, okay, whatever, I don't really care. But I think negatively, nothing to our faces.
No.
Nothing outwardly spoken. Sure, there's social media and that sort of thing, and people are going to comment and say whatever. And then as soon as, I was telling him this yesterday, as soon as you chime in, the comments stop, because they're like, okay, Oh, they're here. And it's like...
So you try and respond to them?
Absolutely. If there's something that comes up where I'm scrolling or I get a notification of it, I absolutely try and... I'll read it or try and follow it, and I'll pop in just to say something because I want to correct them, for one, because it's a lot of hearsay, or they didn't do this, or they didn't do that, or I heard they did whatever, and it's like, no, just wanting to make it clear that this is how it went. If you really want to... If you're that curious and invested in it, this is it. Or this is my opinion, because, you know, I am half of the couple involved in this. I think sometimes he might not get all of the notifications and things like that. Sometimes he might, just being in different groups or whatever online and things like that.
And you're happy to accept what they say, but you're happy to try and dissuade them?
Absolutely. Like, I'm not here, and I don't think either of us are here to change their minds. I think... I have encountered a lot of people, family members even, where it's like, I'm not here to change your mind, you're not here to change mine, I just want you to accept and recognize me for who I am, and I will give you the same respect.
I think it's more of sort of educating or just making people aware of if their view, they're entitled to their own opinion, everyone is, but if someone's view might be just kind of misconstrued or just isn't really the reality of it, then normally I like to say, well, that's not really how it is. But going back to Winston's comment about, you know, having people cheer, clap, or come up to us, for me, that is the greatest feeling, and not because we did it, because I feel that they're cheering and clapping for themselves in the community. Because this is not a personal win for me. I'm not looking at this as anything that's a personal gain. I'm looking at it as a greater community gain and celebrating the community.
Do you think this then comes down essentially to a lack of tolerance for each other?
Yes. I think there's a lot of visibility issues. And when I say that, I mean, we are only one couple in this very large community. And I think people underestimate how big the community is. There's a silent minority there that aren't necessarily coming forward, either one, because they aren't comfortable with it, two, it's just not something that they want to throw their support in that way. They'll come up to us quietly and say congratulations, mm-hmm. but I think sometimes there needs to be more visibility. People don't recognize or realize that it's their brothers, their sisters, their aunts, uncles, fathers, parents, whatever the case is, those people are there as well. And why? And even if they don't say anything, again, it's there's a lot of struggle within themselves. I think we've all kind of gone through that at some point or another when you're trying to either come out or just be comfortable with yourself. There's a battle that rages on that no one else has any concept of. Yeah. And eventually it gets to a point where you can't deal with it anymore, and there's a couple of roads that you take. One's a very negative one, that it's unfortunate, and lives are lost, and there's so much potential in those lives that are lost, but there's a lot of outward negativity that they face that they can't grapple with, and it's unfortunate. The other option is reaching out and being vocal and being visible and saying, hey, there is other people going through what I'm going through.
Yeah.
Like, I am so happy that I got to go to Canada and experience everything that I did, life, cultures, everything, just to expand my mind, to realize there is life outside of Bermuda and life is still going on and diversity is beautiful. Here you don't get to see as much diversity in any real way, and it's anytime there is differences or anytime there is something that doesn't necessarily suit the norm, it's immediately attacked or questioned because it's not what Bermudians are used to.
Just moving on a bit from that, have you reached out, tried to speak to any members of Preserved Marriage? And what I'm not talking about Wayne Verbo, that's Wayne Verbo is separate to this, but have you or would you consider talking to Preserved Marriage?
I would absolutely consider talking to Preserved Marriage about it. I don't understand why not. I think when the court case and referendum and stuff was kind of in its early stages, they were so vocal against it, and was like, well, how about you come and talk to me? I have no idea who's in Preserved Marriage. Like, there is no face of Preserved Marriage for me. They often hide behind stickers and signs and flyers and Facebook ads. I would love to see someone come up to me and make their stance and argument as to why, and we can have a discussion about it.
Because this is the point, isn't it? I mean, you're fighting what you think is right. Yeah. They're fighting for what they think is
right. Exactly. And they can absolutely fight for what they think is right, but show your face. Don't hide behind it. I think, again, we've gotten to a place where, well, we have no real choice of not, but I think, again, I don't know a face of Preserved Marriage. There's no face of Preserved Marriage. People often assume that we're the face of the LGBT side, but again, we're just one couple in that, two people in that, and there's a lot of people that have come up to us at least and thrown their support behind us.
Is it possible for you guys to have any sympathy for them in the sense that they are trying to fight for what they think is right?
I mean, I guess in a broader context, for me at least, I understand they're trying to express their opinions and their views, and I respect that as just a general human right. I don't want to deny them the right to speak their mind. They're allowed to do that. But I think in saying that, it also just sort of validates us and our argument more, because, again, we're fighting for human rights. So I think it's kind of bit of a gray area, I guess. Yeah.
I think... Oh, sorry. Oh.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I think, again, I have no problem people voicing their opinions and having discussions and having debates. My problem is when you are actively working to deny someone a right. I am... In us doing what we did, I don't think we're ever denying anyone anything. I think we were actually helping others achieve what everyone else has.
Empowering.
Yeah. And I think with the opposite side is they're not just trying to stand up for their side. They're working to stop us from having the same right as them. We'll give you that right, but everything except marriage. And it's like, how is that any, like, how is that fair? I don't know. I don't see how, like, the problem comes when you're stopping others from living the life that they choose to live. And that's kind of where the impasse is reached.
As we then came to court.
Yeah.
I've been looking at their website, Preserve Marriage, and when it says about us, it talks about a few should not decide for the many. In a democratic society, the people should decide before any major change takes place, because redefining marriage will reorder society. Do you think it will reorder society?
The question for me now at this point is, that ruling was made on May 5th. How has society been reordered? Mm-hmm. Are we in some crazy society now that, like, pigs are flying and other things are happening? Because nothing's changed.
Mm-hmm. My thing is, we're not imposing some sort of gay culture or gay agenda on heterosexual people. It's not ramming, basically some sort of gay culture or ideas down their throats. We just want to live our life like everyone else.
We haven't gone around preaching anything, really. We haven't gone door to door with books or anything, preaching our agenda to anybody. Have you? So, like, I think that there are, it's very ironic that is the case, so that they feel that we have an agenda of some kind,
yeah,
because that's absolutely not the case. If anything, certain meetings that happen on Sundays, where you're taught specific things according to this book. Like, I as a kid, sure, I went to Sunday school and that sort of thing, and but I think at the same time, that book is, you have to look at it in a non-literal sense, and to look at it literally is a problem in itself, and you have to take the teachings, sure, and use those teachings to help guide you if that's the case, but taking the book literally is when you start to come into problems in a modern day society.
You mentioned the court cases on May the 5th. Seems like a long time ago now. Did you think that was it? Were you anticipating? I mean, I'm going to come on to this. There's a lot happened since.
Yeah,
a lot been said since. But at that particular time, do you think that's it?
I personally felt like, I guess on a grand scheme of things, yes. I knew that there would be probably some small things, loose ends to tie up afterwards. Be it, you know, just discussion of whether people were going to appeal, whether they're allowed to appeal. I just knew that there could be talks of that. But I don't know, I kind of just had this inner feeling that, you know, with this ruling, I was like, it'd be really hard to appeal it, I just personally thought. And thinking, I don't know what real grounds they'll have. Of course, I wasn't able to make it physically to the court case, so I couldn't hear the opposition's arguments, but I was kind of just thinking logically in my head and thinking, I don't really know what kind of grounds or what really more they could push forward to kind of appeal.
We know that obviously government said it wasn't going to appeal, so
yeah,
that's been taken care of. But what we've had since then, of course, is a general election, and in the manifesto of the PLP, which won the election, as you know, it says the issue of same-sex marriage remains a matter of conscience for our members. We accept that same-sex couples should have similar legal benefits as heterosexual couples, say, for marriage, and will introduce legislation to achieve this aim. Now, before we come to the legislation that's still outstanding, we mentioned Mr. Ferber, what do you read by, what's your reaction to when it says similar legal benefits, say, for marriage? I mean, there's a couple of very distinct things there, aren't there?
Like, my thing is separate but equal. Like, how does that... like, we've had this similar problem, like, issue arise in the past. If you compare or talk about racial issues, it's the same but different. You get this and this, but you don't get that. And it's like, how is it equal then at that point? Because it's not.
But it's similar to.
It's similar to, but you don't get everything because you're that way or you live that lifestyle or whatever the case is. And I think how, again, if you replace the word gay with black or white or whatever, like, how do you not see the issue with that?
So when you read that, when you made aware of that, do you think, oh, here we are, back to square one?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, because yes, legally, this is like, the judgment has been made, but obviously, like you said, a lot of things have happened since then. And it's like, okay, well, the law's been made, and obviously there can be amendments and whatnot, and things to change that or take away from it, but I honestly, I didn't think it would be like this. Like, we're going to be the first country to take that back.
Well, it hasn't happened yet, has it?
It hasn't happened yet. And if it does go to that point, it's, I think it's kind of unfortunate. It's like, where do you go from there at that point? Like, I think the argument was so clear in, like, black and white, like, when we first started it and we were talking to Mark about it and all. It made sense. You're like, absolutely, because how does this not make sense? How could we not lose, like, how could we lose this case? Was my thing. And it was, now we're at this point, it's, what do you call it? What, is it fair? Does everyone seem to think it's fair that we'll give you everything and all the rights, but we don't get marriage?
Yeah.
What do you call it? Or what is it? What does that framework look like?
Mm. And I think my experience, not currently living in Bermuda and being in Canada, it's different. It's easier, I guess, in some senses, because I'm a little bit removed directly from the situation, and harder in the sense because I feel like it's harder for me to continue trying to have a bit of an impact, I guess. So, I mean, what I try to do is even just speak with my fellow friends in Canada or even in Bermuda, talk about the issues, just kind of raise awareness, have people just kind of speak up. I decided to write some letters to some international organizations just to try and advocate and make aware, because that kind of thought, and a lot of the people I've talked to internationally can't understand if there was a potential for the rights to be revoked. They just can't comprehend it because it's never been seen in history. So to them, they just can't fathom this, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. And sadly, a lot of my friends are kind of angry at that thought, which, I mean, I would be too if it happened. I'd be kind of disappointed. So I really try to take my stance, not being here right now, and at least trying to do what I can still, because, again, I know at the end of the day how it impacts the Bermudian people, and that's what I care about.
We have mentioned Mr. Ferbert quite a lot. The elephant in the room, if you like, is his legislation that he's meant to be introducing, the amendments to the Human Rights Act. We all thought it was going to be tabled at the opening session of Parliament several weeks ago. It hasn't happened. Been lots of speculation. Have you guys got any clues to what's happening with this?
I don't know. I think, because I did get to speak with him very briefly.
And, when was that? Because you didn't meet for coffee in the end, did you? But
I tried to meet with him, and then there was a little back and forth and stuff, and it didn't happen initially, and then we bumped into each other again. It was kind of impromptu, and sat down and we spoke a little bit. And it left me, I think, with a lot more questions than I had in the beginning.
Are you at liberty to disclose that conversation? Maybe it's confidential, I understand.
It was never confidential. I just think that it was, I want to be respectful of him. I think that the conversation revolved a lot around politics and religion, as one would expect talking to a politician in Bermuda. But I think I tried to remove those circles of issues, or whatever you want to call them, themes from the situation, and just talk to him as another person. And I tried to lay out a lot of my letter to him and at least try to get him to understand. Again, not here to change your mind. That has never been my thing. I just want to hear and pick your brain as to how it is justified in your mind, not in the realm of politics, not in the realm of religion, just straight person to person. And that was not something that was able to be reached.
So you couldn't reach a mutual understanding?
Not in the way that I thought was going to happen. It basically came down to, because the Bible tells me so. And you have to understand that I grew up in Bermuda and in the church, and this is not what we were taught, or we were taught that this is not right. And I think that homosexuality and religion can and do coexist. I think it is absolutely, it's possible. The conversation, yeah, it just, to, I remember I asked him one question specifically, is this what you truly believe, or is it for your constituency? And I honestly think I would have respected him more if he said it was for his constituency, because you're doing it to win. You're, of course, you want to win. You want to win your seat again. But to say the opposite and that it was what you believe, it's like, oh, okay, so you really, like, this is really who you are. Okay, like, to the core and your values and your belief, this is who I'm speaking with. All right. And it, and I think that question alone kind of gave me as much as that I could have asked for in that, because again, I would have seen it slightly different if you were doing it just to win. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and no clues as to where legislation
with respect to the legislation, I honestly have no idea. Like, I was expecting it to happen in the first session, and I was kind of prepping myself for that Friday, because I was like, okay, what's coming out of this? And there was nothing, and nothing has still been said about it. So I think that there's probably, again, there has to be some sort of discussion happening that we aren't aware of, as to what is truly supposed to happen at this point. I think if the bill passes and that sort of thing, as many are expecting to do if it was tabled and brought back, the discussion after that and how, what that looks like, because there's going to be a lot of issues with that as well.
Well, one of the issues, we did an interview with Roderick Tri Sterling and Mark Pentacle on Bernie's Live, and one of the things they were talking about, if it could lead to the fact that people who are married here couldn't actually get divorced, they'd be living in this sort of horrible purgatory.
Yeah, and that's like, again, and that's another question in the bill where it's like, okay, well, that would have to be looked at, and you're going to have to rewrite your bill or redo it, and if that's the case, then it has to go to the Senate again. And I'm not a lawyer by any means. I've learned a lot about law in the last year or so. far from a lawyer. But yeah, there's another, and again, bringing that new bill or rewriting the existing bill to correct those issues, because that's in itself is a problem. Not that I would like want to get divorced from Greg or anything like that, but I think you obviously, if there are problems in any relationship and this is the only way out of them to, I guess, come to some sort of agreement on, they should have that option as well, just like any other heterosexual couple. If anything, when it comes to religion, you obviously don't want to be divorced and that sort of thing, so maybe they should be entering this sort of agreement where they can't.
Well, I'm sure we'll find out in due course. I'm sure it'll become clear, because it has been pledged it will happen. I remember, I've been in the media now for about 30 years. When I was a Cub reporter, I used to get sent on to cover golden wedding anniversaries. And I know you haven't been married for 50 years, but one of the questions I always ask is, what's the secret of your success? What's the secret of a good marriage, guys?
Well, we've been married now for a few months, so not very long, and we've been sadly...
So you're still on the honeymoon period.
Sadly, we have been actually living apart at this period of time. I'm looking to actually move to Bermuda soon. No specific date yet. But right now, the big thing for us is just maintaining, because it's a long-distance relationship, is maintaining the communication. I think that's basically priority number one, and really trying to not let the, I guess general stress that comes with such a social issue and, mm-hmm. and this whole court case and all the things that come since that to really interfere personally with our relationship.
Have you succeeded in doing that? Because when you come to Bermuda, you're in the limelight a little bit.
Yeah, and it's like the biggest thing is like, again, it's while it's important and while we've done a lot for the community itself, at the end of the day, it's me and him.
Yeah.
The marriage is us.
Absolutely.
And so focusing on that and keeping that as the focus of us and not letting the other stuff kind of interfere as much. Everyone has an opinion on everything because that's just how life is. But again, the communication is a big thing, talking to each other. We talk every day, FaceTime or otherwise. And it's still very much a honeymoon phase. So anytime we get to see each other, it's like an extended honeymoon, really, at this point. talking is the huge thing. And even just hearing his opinion on some of the articles that I sent and things like that, it's like, it's awesome and encouraging. And or even just messages that people send to us, it's like, oh, I got this message, just wanted to show it to you because someone bumped into me and was asking about it and was just so proud of what we've done. And I think at the end of the day, when you've got a couple like we've done some pretty awesome things together, and I think this kind of is the icing on top for this one. And it's just like, it's cool, like, to have a couple to go through those sorts of things and experience what we've have together, in itself kind of brings the relationship closer.
Yeah.
To go through those things together.
I can tell you that of all the interviews I did with people celebrating their golden wedding anniversary, there's always a bit of give and take and compromise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
on that note, guys, really appreciate you turning up. Thank you very much, Wendy.
Thank you.
Appreciate you very much. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you
great
so
to
much.
See you.
It's
Thank
good
you.
Seeing
you.
Thank you for tuning in to Burn U's Current Affairs Podcast with Jeremy Deacon. Listen at your leisure on www.burnews.com, your 24/7 Bermuda news source.